Mike Hyka joins us now. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good, Mike. When I look at the makeup of the Dallas Stars, and obviously this is an improvement to their top six, is it really kind of a, you know, the second summer in a three-summer process for Jim Neal, because Horkoff's contract is off the books next year, Eric Cole's off the books, that's $10 million. Spezza's $7 million cap hit likely comes down to something more reasonable. Rich Peverly maybe is off the books. So is this kind of next summer is where they really look to improve their blue line, or do you think they have enough guys to improve it from within?
It's a little of both, I guess. I think they would love for the guys here to be the guys who improve it. But you're right. I mean, the opportunity for them to, you know, make a big deal next year is right there as far as the cash goes. The other thing that Jim Neal's talked about is that, you know, the way that the league is trending now, and with the big salaries, there is an opportunity that Chicago or a Boston or an L.A. in the future is going to have to, you know, trade a really good player. And, you know, I mean, if you want to speculate, let's just throw out just, I don't know, Taves and Kane each get $10 million each, and they have to trade Brent Seabrook. Well, then I think the Dallas Stars would be sitting right there going like, okay, what do you need out of this huge pile of prospects we had? So they're positioned to make a move, but, you know, the plan right now is the kids are going to come up and play well on defense.
You know, that's interesting, Mike. You know, obviously, looking down the road, you have to look to the back end and how that gets better. Same issue here in Edmonton, despite the young talent up front. Your talent up front's far more established. But, you know, talk about the add of Hemsky and Spezza. I mean, either one of those would be considered a pretty good day's work by a GM. To get them both, I mean, that really changes the complexion of that top six.
Yeah, definitely. And what happened last year, Robin, is that basically the line of Roussel, Eakin, and Garbutt was a, you know, pretty much the second line. And so what happens now, they scored 47 goals, so they were pretty good at it. Now they move down to the third line. So in addition to, you know, Spezza and Hemsky maybe being better players on a team where they don't have to face the other team's best defensemen, you're coming in with a third line that has all sorts of speed and offensive prowess. And, you know, I think the thought process is now, how do you stop that? You know, how do you defend, okay, let's say you're focusing on Ben Sagan and then all of a sudden you got a little bit left over and you're going to focus on Hemsky and Spezza. And now here comes Eakin, Garbutt, and Roussel, possibly even playing against your best players and trying to, you know, attack with speed. So the formula on the forwards right now, they feel is fantastic. And, you know, Lindy Ruff was very excited about the possibilities. The other thing that's interesting is their power play was 23rd. It wasn't good at all last year. And now they believe that they have some pieces there that they can really boost the power play.
Well, and the thing for me, Mike, and you know this, whether we're talking about the other players on the Dallas roster or Neal, you know, coming over from Detroit to Dallas, he's seen plenty of Hemsky, and you know, I think there's quality here. He was, you know, he was a polarizing player in Edmonton, clearly talented when he was healthy. The question often was his health. You know, if he's right, that's a dynamite pickup as a $4 million player.
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting, if you look at it, and we'll have to just wait and see, but he's a playmaking winger. And I think, in my opinion, that, you know, we've only seen one season of it, but Tyler Seguin's going to be a goal-scoring center. He's a guy who might score 40 goals from the center spot. So you actually could see Hemsky up on the top line for, you know, long stretches of games, and then maybe Spezza playing with Valeri Nichushkin, which wouldn't be a bad combination either.
On the back end, you know, they had one of the best kind of diamond in the rough findings in Dylan. Where's Oleksiak in his development? Is he a guy they think's ready for the NHL this year?
They do. If you watch the AHL playoffs, the Texas Stars won. Dylan got to play a ton. Nemeth got to play a ton. Jokke Pekka played quite a bit, too. So those three are all in the mix. Oleksiak is the wild card in all this because he can be really good for long stretches. He's not as physical as they'd like him to be, but he's actually a better skater and a better passer than you'd think at 6'7". But he also made some dumb mistakes. And, I mean, at crucial times, he just, you know, had just, you know, just brain freeze. And so then the question becomes, okay, if he does that in pressure situations in the playoffs, is that something he might could do in the NHL? And, you know, the guess is sure, yeah, that's quite a bit. And so what they hope, I think, is that they'll work him in slowly on the third pair and see where it goes from there. And then the other thing I think they'll set up is I believe all of them are non-waiver players. So let's say Oleksiak struggles in 20 games. Well, then he goes down and Joakim Paakka comes up. Or, you know, if Nemeth is struggling, then he goes down. They have another guy, John Klingberg, is coming off hip surgery, who they feel is an extremely skilled defenseman that they're bringing over from Sweden. I think he'll be in the mix, too. And so it may just come down to, hey, two guys are up. They're playing well. We'll leave them there. If either of them or both are struggling, we send them right back to the AHL and we call up the two guys from the AHL and see how they fit in here. And, you know, they all get development. They're always playing. None of them are really healthy scratches. So that's how I think they're looking at it right now.
Mike, these individual moves aside, and there's been several of them since Nil came, in the big picture, you're there every day. Has there been a philosophical shift in the way Nil wants to build a Dallas Stars hockey club as opposed to his predecessor?
Well, you know what's funny is Joe Newendike probably doesn't get enough credit for everything he did. He was here during the, you know, the dark days of the bankruptcy and bank ownership and struggling just to hit the floor. And so what he did was he established the AHL franchise in Texas, which Nil said is a huge deal, that was one of the reasons why he came to Dallas, because he believes you need your AHL franchise close to your NHL franchise so that you can keep a good eye on it. Mm-hmm. And then he also, Joe Newendike's, you know, on their watch, also went out and drafted a bunch of big, strong players. So when, you know, Jim Nil can pull a trade because he can send Riley Smith and Louis Erickson to Boston, well, Riley Smith was drafted on Joe Newendike's watch. And when he can pull a trade because he can send Alex Chiasson to Ottawa, well, Alex Chiasson was drafted on Joe Newendike's watch. And so when I believe he, you know, he doesn't really say that he looked at everything, but when Jim Nil took over here, I think he saw a franchise that was ready to move forward. And so, you know, with all of that base built, then he could come in and then shape it or mold it or just, you know, polish it the way that he wants to do it. And so in the last few years, you get a Val Nichushkin, you know, European winger, and you get a Julius, Honka, who's
yeah,
a defenseman, a skilled defenseman. And so now all the big, strong pieces that Joe drafted are getting mixed in with, I think, more skilled pieces that, you know, are being drafted on Jim's watch. And so you look at that group of prospects and you think, you know what, there's a lot there. And there's a lot there either that'll come in and play for the Stars or that you can use to go out and get a Jason Spezza or a Tyler Seguin or your, you know, next defenseman. And so I think what Jim loves about all of this is that the pieces are there to build from, you know, the development system. And now he's adding to those pieces, and now he's got what he believes is a good development system. He's down in Austin a ton. They just hired Derek Laxtell today. You guys know that.
Yeah.
I think that's a great hire, and it speaks to what Jim Nil does. He wants that development franchise to be one of the best in the AHL, and he believes that that will produce great players. And so all of his little things, I think he knew he was coming into a good situation, and I think he's made that good situation better.
Mike Hajka joins us from Dallas. Mike, you know, the Robidoux trade, I know you and I talked about it. They were a little surprised. We all saw what happened with the injury, unfortunately, him in the playoffs. With Dallas making the big splash in the trade in Hemsky, do you see them, I guess, kind of painting around the edges to try to add some more experience to their blue line, or is Jim Nil going to stand pat right now with his defense?
He keeps saying he's going to stand pat, and I believe him. If they wouldn't have done so well in the AHL playoffs, I think he would have been more nervous about it. But the two, you know, big factors are, one, they played well in the AHL playoffs, and then two, Daly and Goligoski, about the 40-45 game mark last year, found some chemistry. And they both of them have battled with confidence issues, and Lindy Ruff has a system that's attack, 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 And if you make a mistake, that's fine. Like, let me even tell people, look, we're a high-risk team. We're going to make mistakes. What we need to do is, you know, keep going, keep pushing. And it's not, you know, it's not quite safe as death, but it's a lot like it. I mean, it's, you know, go make your plays. Don't play scared. Play with confidence. And so what has happened is they truly believe Goligoski and Daly are a number one pair. And there will be a lot of people in the league who will argue that. But they played like a number one pair down the stretch last year and in that six-game series against Anaheim.
Yeah. Mike, you touched on player development. Of course, Jim Nill comes from a background where player development is everything. I mean, that was the strength of the Red Wings, having players percolating in the minors for years. With the Stars, talk about Laxdal. I mean, he had great success here. He's a former player. When did he get onto the radar down in Dallas? Was he sort of a shortlist guy all the way along? Did he improve after an interview? Like, how did this play out? And who else was a serious candidate? Have you found that out?
No, I haven't. I you know, we've been so, you know, busy with free agency and the trades and everything that I'm kind of a little bit left out on all this stuff. But I will tell you this, Derek Laxdal coached in Idaho, won the Kelly Cup down there. They are the ECHL, you know, affiliate for the Stars. So he did that with a couple of Stars prospects and under the watch of Les Jackson at the time. Mm-hmm. And Les Jackson's always been keen on Derek Laxdal. When the Texas job came open, I personally believe, if I remember correctly, Glenn Gullickson and Derek Laxdal were the two finalists, and they took Glenn Gullickson. And so then I think Derek left the organization, went up to Edmonton after that. But I think Les and Scott White have always been a fan. So I think he was always on their radar. And then, you know, when Willie left, I think that they thought, well, is Glenn going to stay in Vancouver? Is he going to make himself available? And I think they're still trying to figure that out. And I think they just looked at a few things, and they've been familiar with Derek before. In fact, I think that – I hate to just say that this is exactly what happened, but I swear when Jamie Benn and James Neal were at the Traverse City Prospects Tournament, Dallas won the tournament, and I think Derek Laxdal was the coach that year because they didn't have an AHL coach, and Derek was still in the ECHL. I could be wrong about that, but I think there was a year when Derek actually coached the prospects in Traverse City, so they're very familiar with it. And clearly what he did in Edmonton was fantastic. And, you know, basically everywhere he's gone, he's been a winner. And, you know, that kind of just falls into the kind of, you know, philosophy that Jim has about things. You know, he's going to trust, just like Willie last year ran that organization the way Willie wanted to, and Jim's going to trust people to do things the way they want to. And I think that's what's going to happen with Derek down there.
Mike, last one. Kerry Letton and Tim Thomas. Is Tim Thomas, like, what's the future with him in Dallas? What are they doing for the backup?
They already have bid adieu to Tim Thomas. Okay. I talked to him after the season. I think he really would love to play. But I if you watched him at the U.S. Or at the World Championships with Team USA, he looked a little shaky. So I'm not sure if he's going to get a chance or not. We'll have to see. They went with the risky pick of Anders Lindback, he of the Tampa Bay Lightning and the really rocky playoff performance last year. Basically, Mike Valley, the goaltending coach for the Stars, knows Lindback. Valley was in Milwaukee when they drafted him in Nashville. And so he believes that he can rebuild him, he can make him stronger, he can make him better, he can fix his glove hand. And that's the plan right now. It's a one-year deal for $9.25, and Anders Lindback will get the chance to be the Dallas Stars backup next season.
Mike, enjoy the off season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.